Hooper Prize, third place. Falklands Analyzed, third place, joint. LH, EW, Lewis Batch, Northwood HQ. It is more than 40 years since the Falklands conflict. Evaluate the challenges the Royal Navy face if it was to engage in a non-UN/NATO supported conflict in the Southern Hemisphere. Context. On April 5, 1982, the aircraft carriers HMS Hermes, HMS Invincible, and their escort vessels sailed from Portsmouth for the South Atlantic as part of the UK government's response to the Argentine invasion of the Falkland Islands. Then, as would apply now, the UK was not afforded protection under NATO's Article 5 Collective Self-Defense, valid only for territories north of the Tropic of Cancer, and a solely British military operation was initiated. Given the need to carry an invasion force over some 8,000 miles, the Royal Navy, RN, was to act as the main military apparatus in the transportation of invasion force south. This was codenamed Operation Corporate. 41 years later, and Argentina has elected a new president in Javier Milei, who is keen to reopen questions over the future of the Falkland sovereignty. This, coupled with the RN's recovery from a period of austerity-driven defense cuts, provides comparisons which are eerily reminiscent of the state of the RN in 1982. It is therefore appropriate to discuss whether the RN in 2024 could replicate a similar response to that was launched in 1982. To make fair assessment, the following areas will be discussed: political appetite and foreign policy, fleet size, technology, defense procurement, as well as the UK's relationship with her allies and the role of overseas bases. Political appetite. The UK government does and continues to demonstrate its desire to play a global role, meeting its commitment to international partners and defending peace and stability. This is evident from the UK's leading role in both the training and delivery of equipment to Ukraine since 2022, the commitment through Operation Prosperity Guardian to ensure freedom of navigation through areas littoral to Yemen, notwithstanding swift responses to the 2021 Kabul airlift, the evacuation of UK nationals from Sudan in 2023, and most recently, the delivery of humanitarian aid to Gaza. Importantly, it was a release of the 2021 Integrated Review and Defense Command paper which reiterated the appetite for global Britain. This manifested itself in a commitment to respond to both concurrent and new and emerging threats, focusing largely on the following methods: the need for a more forward-based navy, the ability to deploy one functioning aircraft carrier, and investment in future technology, such as direct energy weapons and artificial intelligence. In short, the UK has demonstrated it maintains the political will to remain a global power in protecting its interests at home and abroad. However, this has been conducted with ever-stretching resources, most notably, fewer available capital ships and a creaking support structure. Fleet size. With it established that the UK has the political will power to react to a theoretical conflict in the Southern Hemisphere, the next area of discussion lays with the current RN footprint and whether there is appropriate number of capital ships, auxiliary ships, and supply chain to support extended deployment at high readiness. If we compare the current RN fleet with that of the task force sent in 1982, we can see numbers are significantly lower, and this has continued to decrease in size. The Operation Corporate Task Group comprised of 127 ships, 43 RN vessels, 2 aircraft carriers, 15 frigates, 6 destroyers, 2 LPDs and 6 submarines, 24 Sea Harrier and 22 Royal Fleet Auxiliary, RFA. The 62 merchant vessels were British registered vessels requisitioned by the Ministry of Defence MOD, otherwise known as ships taken up from trade, stuffed. In contrast, the current RN in its totality encompasses 66 vessels, drastically reducing to 21 when listing only capital ships, 11 frigates, 6 destroyers, 2 aircraft carriers, 2 LPDs and 10 submarines, along with 34 F-35 aircraft and 11 RFA. Additionally, there are 4 point-class auxiliary RO/RO vessels chartered for the MOD. However, the number of British-registered vessels deemed military useful has decreased from 841 in 2009 to 495 in 2023, signifying the depletion in national maritime resources. The reduction in size is startling, more so when compared to the continued reduction in size from the 2010 and 2015 Strategic Defense and Security Reviews, and that is without giving due consideration to the cycle of force generation required to get a vessel and her crew into an operational state. If correct, these numbers not only cast doubt on the RN's ability to execute her national duties, but demonstrate the difficulty the UK government would face in committing a task group comprising solely of RN vessels at any one time. Notwithstanding the fact that the smaller the fleet, the more acute operational defects or loss of assets in a kinetic environment would be felt. It is easy to state that disparity in numbers can be counterbalanced by technological advancements in warfare. Nonetheless, there is still a requirement for set number of escort vessels, submarines, and auxiliary vessels to create a task force. Fundamentally, the RN has the key components to launch a carrier strike task group as seen through Operation Fortis. However, given the numerical deficiency, it would find it increasingly difficult to execute that mission whilst honoring its core commitments. Both national tasking, continuous at sea deterrent, tow-to-ray patrol ship, fleet-ready escort, and international commitments. Combined Maritime Force Tasking 150-154, Operation Kipion, Standing NATO Maritime Group 1/2. Technology. The emphasis on the role of future technology is ever more playing a pivotal part of modern militaries, and the RN is no exception. Fortunately, the UK is at the forefront in both concept and production, visible through the development of world-leading sensors and weapons, notably the Samson 1045 radar and associate PAMS. Elsewhere, advances have been made in direct energy weapons through Dragon Fire Laser, and work continues into unmanned surface/subsurface vehicles, not to mention the equipment to be used by the future command force. Take, for example, the role of the Type 45 destroyer and its contribution to air defense. The Type 45 possesses a far greater capability over its predecessor, Type 42, in its sensors and weapon systems. Its PAMS radar and Sea Viper system have proven success, as seen in their role in neutralizing Houthi air attacks on HMS Diamond earlier this year, this reinforcing the high opinion it is held in throughout Western militaries. However, this is greatly undermined by their lack of numbers, not to mention their credibility to be put to sea following propulsion and defense procurement issues. Within the air environment, the circumstances surrounding the F-35's procurement follows a similar pattern. Despite boasting capability advantage over its European allies through its fifth-generation technology, being so few in numbers proceeds to undermine their war-fighting capability. Therefore, seen in its totality, the RN is a world leader in its equipment. However, again, the lack of surface vessels and equipment seriously handicaps the ability for the RN to deploy a task group independently. Put simply, if the RN wanted to form a fleet of equivalent size to that of 1982, it would not be a task force. It would take the entire RN, leaving the United Kingdom's entire global mission list unfulfilled. The emphasis on technological advancement and automated process over personnel and ships goes only so far. Defense procurement. Of equal detriment as the lack of capital ships is defense procurement, and in real terms, that the RN and wider defense is not on a war footing. Given the requirement for more vessels, both capital and auxiliary, there is not the defense infrastructure in effective terms for ship support, weapon stocks, and weapon productions, invariably exacerbated both in economic split of the defense budget and material terms in supporting the Ukrainian war effort. When we take, for example, the issue of Type 45s and their propulsion system, it is evident that the MOD has successfully found resolution to the issue through Power Improvement Plan, the PP. However, this has taken time and highlighted key failings in defense procurement and support. Whilst most of these issues reside at the political level, namely the closure of British dockyards and lack of skilled workers, it has limited the capability of UK defense to produce and maintain its fleet in peacetime, let alone war, when the required output is pressing. Similar issues are evident with the procurement of the F-35. The original order for 138 jets still exists, but now it is reported the second batch will be delayed, leaving the RN with 47 and wider defense with an aviation shortfall. Thus, a central issue hindering the ability to deploy a task group hinges heavily on defense procurement and having the logistical shoreside support. It is hoped events in Ukraine and the Middle East, as well as greater public awareness of the Chinese threat, particularly the Sino-Taiwan issue, should provide government with a greater mandate to increase defense spending and assist the RN to deliver such tasks. Allies and overseas bases. It is highly likely given the special relationship within the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance, FEY, that the UK would have access to the Comprehensive Intelligence Network, assisting the UK in its intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance capability. Additionally, it would be hoped that FVY allies may provide logistical and military support in lieu of UN/NATO backing, similar to that of the Falklands conflict, where US satellites provided signals intelligence, SIGINT, and situational awareness to British forces. Fortunately for the UK, the global presence of British overseas territories and military bases provide a significant footprint where established military presence and support structures exist. One of the tangible outcomes of the Falklands War was to increase the military footprint on the Falkland themselves, providing a greater buttress to defend against Argentine aggression. Elsewhere there is RAF Ascension Island, British Forces Cyprus and Indian Ocean Territories, UK Naval Support Facility Bahrain, British Defence Singapore Support Unit, and the presence of two Batch 2 OPVs in the Indo-Pacific. What's more, the Integrated Review 2021 outlined further plans to invest more in Oman, Littoral Response Group, and Singapore OPVs to act as strategic hubs for vessels to forward operate from. Crucially, it is the special relationship with the US and particularly in the South China Sea, the growing role of Australia, that would likely act as a key factor should conflict arise south of the equator. The emphasis on this tripartite is evident through the emergence of the 2023 AUKUS submarine deal, Associate Submarine Rotational Forces West Initiative, and the Australian government purchase of the Type 26 frigate. Additionally, US and other NATO allies would likely continue to maintain defense contracts, and the realpolitik of a conflict arising would likely see armament production increase. A contemporary example of this being the gap in surface-to-surface capability following the expiration of Harpoon and the subsequent procurement of the Kongsberg, Norwegian, naval strike missile. Conclusion. The RN continues to demonstrate it can react to global events, protect the nation's interest, and challenge those who disregard the international rules-based order. However, sustained periods of defense cuts has resulted in a RN greatly reduced in size and ever more stretched to meet its current commitments. Based on the size of the fleet alone, is one, if not the main challenge, should the RN wish to replicate a task group with similar ambition to that in 1982. As such, it would deprive the RN of meeting its commitment to any other tasking due to lack of vessels. Whilst the defense and technology sector can boast world-leading equipment, issues surrounding defense infrastructure and defense procurement provide a further challenge to launch sustained operations. Fortunately, the UK's relationships within alliances such as AUKUS and FEY, as well as its overseas bases, provide strategic support should a non-UN/NATO supported conflict arise. It is hoped wider defense will continue to acquire investment, particularly as the electorate, and within that, a mandate is grown which reflects the need for further defense spending. This, however, does not resolve societal questions, namely the retention and recruitment of personnel, which lays heavily on the ability to justify a greater fleet and resultant ability to launch a task force.